All right, this is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver.
The 5 o'clock whistle, powered by Smart Local Union 9 sheet metal workers.
We are coming with it, and we are coming for it. It's Zach Vi and Philip Lindsay, and we are The Drive. And we are watching today in the NFL what it looks like when a team gets it right at quarterback. Now, I want to talk about here in just a minute, Field Yates of ESPN, really smart guy, works really hard at his craft, and he did his latest mock draft. I want to talk about what the Denver Broncos did in his mock and how would it make you feel if things fell the way that Field Yates predicted, not just for Denver, but for the Chargers, for the Raiders, and beyond. Have that conversation in just a second. But, man, Phil, we're watching a team in the Houston Texans that you played for in the year 2021.
I did.
And they were, you guys were
shaking right now.
Flashbacks?
Yeah. Uh-oh. 1 yard a cloud of dust.
You guys were a 4-win team.
Yeah.
You were a 4-win team. What was it like going to that building every day?
Oh, Zach, why'd you have to bring it up, man? I've been seeing a therapist for it since then. Man, it's horrible. It's probably one of the worst feelings ever, knowing that you suck so bad that you're going to lose the next game. And you're trying so hard, Zach. You're trying so hard in practice. But guess what? If the front office doesn't want to win and they want to find ways to collect more draft capital, you're not going to win. And that's just what happened. We were the bad news bears, okay? They got rid of some of the people that we did need and found ways to get out. Mark Ingram decided to go back to the Saints, which then he ended up being the leading Russian, beating the leading Russian record over there with the Saints.
Oh, so he's the Saints all-time leading Russian?
They got rid of my man 28 yards before he had to beat the record.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, so he didn't actually cross the finish line.
No, well, he ended up talking to Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara needed help and was able to get him back in that building. And they traded for Mark
Ingram.
And then Mark ended up getting the rushing record. It was cool to see.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so Alvin Kamara ended up helping out to get Mark his rushing record. You know, like, you don't hear that anymore.
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
Mark Ingram, number one Saints rusher of all time.
Yeah, you don't see that anymore from players helping another teammate out. But when you have a brotherhood like that, that was cool to see. But for me, I was stuck. I was stuck there. And, man, we were not good. We were not going to be good. And just going in that building knowing that you suck, that the coach doesn't believe in you, you don't believe in that coach. Okay, you're trying to talk people into playing a game. I truly didn't know what depression was until I was with the Houston Texans, right? My family didn't want to be in Houston as it was. We were sitting there. We were miserable. I wasn't getting the opportunities that I thought I was going to get there.
Right.
So every time I came home, the only happy feeling I got was seeing my little son and my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, it wasn't until I got to Miami that year where Houston decided to let me go. I went to Miami, and I was like, well, this is what it feels like. We were winning games.
Yeah, that's the Dolphins team that started 1-7 and finished above 500.
You know, I got to be on a double-decker plane.
Yeah, yeah.
Eat all the food I can imagine. 75 degrees, blue skies, palm trees. Come on now, Zach.
Mm.
Pina colada.
Mm.
Woo!
Sounds nice.
Yeah, it was.
What a transition from the 4-win Houston team to a team against a team in Miami who didn't lose but one game at the end of the year.
We just needed one more and we didn't get it, but man, it was fun.
The reason that we're bringing up the Houston Texans, because somehow the year after you left, Phil, somehow it got worse. It got worse.
I can't even imagine.
They won 3 games.
Yeah.
So tell me how they went from winning 3 games to the next year being 10-7 and winning a playoff game by 30.
Mm.
How could that have happened?
Having Joe Flacco on your team. That's how that happens.
Well, they
against them.
They did play the Browns.
Yeah, no. Yep. It comes down to, like you said, having that quarterback. But also having that draft capital. They sucked for 2 years. They were able to get some leeway in the draft because now they moved up in the draft boards.
Right.
They traded a couple players, got a couple more picks. All right. You know, if I would have known we were tanking, I would have never went there. But that's what it looked like the Houston Texans were doing for 2 years, tanking for opportunity to get somebody that they wanted, which was not CJ Stroud.
Right. No, I know that's a fascinating wrinkle in that story,
yeah.
Man.
It's lucky.
It was week, and our listeners know the story, but it's the final week of the year, and it was Lovie Smith, and he went for the win, and they screwed up the number one pick, and everyone in Houston wanted his head on a stake. And it turned out to be the biggest blessing maybe in the history of that franchise.
They still better be paying, my man.
Yeah, and it helped. I mean, so they had the second and third overall pick, but they also had a third-round pick that turned out to be Tank Dell. And, you know, they had drafted in previous years, like, some other good players, like Damian Pierce, the running back. They got him in, like, the fourth round. Yep. And Nico Collins, they got him.
Stud.
Out of Michigan in the third round. He was, like, freaking 1,300 yards or whatever he was this past year. So those guys were on teams that were losing. So what, like, they literally found the quarterback. And they hired the right coach, of course, but everything started to fall into place to such a degree that I'm going to use the word inspiring. Like if you're a Broncos a fan and you look, it can happen. It just happened. They went from the depths of the NFL's, you know, lowest point to being in the playoffs and winning a game by 30. And it gives me hope that if things break right for the Denver Broncos in 3 weeks. That they could put themselves in a conversation like this.
Wow, we're 3 weeks away. 3 weeks away from knowing what's going to happen with the Denver Broncos. Are we picking this quarterback? And if that's the case, are we moving up? Are we moving down? Are we staying the same? Whatever the case may be, it has to be a quarterback. Because when you look at what the Houston Texans were able to do, it's because of a quarterback.
Yeah. And the reason that we're bringing Houston up today is because now they're all in.
Yeah.
Now they're trading for potential future Hall of Fame wide receiver Stephon Diggs, who is a great player and still in his prime.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh my gosh, they're going to pair, you know, Diggs with Nico Collins and Tank Dell. They still have Robert Woods. They have a great tight end or a really good one in Dalton Schultz, who is back there. So
yeah, running back in Mixon.
The Mixon, yes.
And also you have Damian,
Who did I just say his name? Pierce, all right?
Pierce, yeah, Damian Pierce, who was actually a solid running back. I don't know what happened this year with him, but, man, they are all in. DeMeco Ryans has that team going, and, you know, he's a defensive-minded coach.
Yeah.
That defense is playing well. That's a scary team.
It is, man. It is. Real quick, before we shift gears to the ESPN's Field Yates mock draft, what did you make of the actual trade, the divorce of maybe the best quarterback wide receiver combo over the last 4 years, Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs?
Yeah. Look, I know that, you know, you're sad.
I am not sad.
I know that you're in a little frenzy with it, but it's probably the best thing that happened to Josh Allen. I think that was a bad relationship, a bad marriage. It had to become a divorce. Okay, Josh Allen was walking on eggshells like a battered person.
Mm.
And he needed a way out. He was screaming help. He finally got it. Okay, and even though you're losing a great receiver, you're also gaining more confidence in somebody that can breathe easily with someone like Josh Allen.
Yeah, great talent, but get him out of the room, and maybe you're right. Maybe everyone is breathing a little bit easier. Because I remember on game day, Stephon Diggs would be freaking out. I mean, they were in a win-or-go-home playoff game against the Cincinnati Bengals 2 years ago, and Diggs, like, literally was out of control on the sideline. It was last offseason. He's posting himself in cowboy uniforms and doing all this stuff. And it was just yesterday on social media, Robert Griffin posted, RG3, he posted this video of, like, did Josh need Diggs to be a lead or whatever the video was.
And, yeah.
And it was a Twitter comment, literally just a reply that was like, is Josh better with Diggs? Yes. Does he need him to be an elite quarterback? No. And Diggs went on Twitter, responded to this guy with 200 followers. No disrespect to anyone who has 200 followers. but it's Stephon Diggs responding to just Joe Blow saying, you sure?
Ooh.
And it's like, it's always just something. So I like your point of maybe you don't want to say addition by subtraction because he's such a great player.
Yeah.
But, I'm curious how it all ages here. They have a good thing going in Houston.
They do.
I hope they did not invite something, the wrong kind of personality into their building when they're moving in the right direction at such speed.
No, for sure. All it takes is one bad cancer in the building, right? Especially in the receiver position. We all know they're prima donnas. Look at Stoke. Right? Every time you look in here, he chipped a nail. He's crying. I'm like, oh, here we go. I feel like I'm coming from my wife to Stoke. Oh, here we go.
They do complain a lot on that show. They do.
Oh, don't get me started with Josh.
Oh, he hates everyone.
Oh, yeah. I can't even imagine what he used to talk about me.
You know what? We can pull some audio. I don't know.
Yeah, man. All it takes is one bad apple, and all of a sudden you're not in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So hopefully it works out. Get Stephon Diggs involved so that it doesn't end up as a bad apple, and they should be fine.
I mean, dude, they did this trade for a second-round pick next year. They sent Diggs a fifth and a sixth in exchange for a second-round pick next year. Now Houston signed up for his salary now, which is like $18, $19 million for the next all through his early to mid-30s, so we'll see how it all ages. In terms of Field Yates and his mock draft and what he had the Broncos doing, as we're 3 weeks away of the Broncos trying to yet again solve the quarterback conundrum here in Denver, he's got the Denver Broncos, number 12. Well, let me just say this. Let me give you this little detail first. He had the Minnesota Vikings trading from the 11th pick right in front of Denver. He's got the Vikings moving up to the 5th overall pick.
Mm.
So it's not the 4th in this scenario, and this matters for us here in Denver, because in this scenario, the Vikings are doing a deal with AFC West foe Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah.
He's got the Vikings trading up to the 5th overall pick, and the Chargers trading back to the 11th pick right before Denver. Vikings grab J.J. McCarthy, but in order to get up there, they give the Chargers the 11th pick, the 23rd pick, and next year's first round pick to Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers.
Woo!
That's man. Like, it's a bunch of resources to build around Justin Herbert.
It really is. And man, we don't have the draft capital or the players to compete with something like that. Second of all, the Chargers aren't going to want to do business with us, so we have to get it right with the Arizona Cardinals. We have to. But do we have enough? Is there another team behind us that's willing to give up a little bit more? And you said it. The reason why the Vikings have this ability to do what they're getting ready to do is because they have two first-round draft picks in, you know, this year.
This year. Yeah. What would make it more immediate for the Broncos if they wanted to get themselves in that conversation of how can we help you immediately in addition to the 12th overall pick is include Pat Surtain. Now, again, I know that makes you and a lot of people very uncomfortable.
And look at you over there smiling.
But I'm not smiling.
No, no.
But I'm telling the truth.
No,
of like,
for sure.
If you could do a shortcut of like, it's not just a pick that you'll have immediately. It's a player that you'll have immediately, and you're not guessing if he's going to work out. He's a stud.
Yeah, who else? Who else do you have?
Like, no one.
Like, literally.
No one.
If they could get rid of Cortland right now, they would have.
Yes, I agree.
They would have. Nobody wants Cortland.
If they got what they wanted in return. Yeah, but people will trade for Cortland if they're trading a, you know, fill in the blank, fifth round pick. Yeah.
Fifth round, sixth round pick, of course. But no, nobody is taking Cortland and letting you move up. So you're going to have to give up Pat Surtain and Zach. How many first-round draft picks then?
If you include Surtain, you'll trade your 12th this year to move up. So they get your 12th, Pat Surtain, and next year's first-round pick.
See, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. But, yeah, that's what they're going to have to do.
Yeah, that's what it would cost.
Arizona knows that. Arizona's looking, smiling like, ooh, are you willing to give everything?
Yes.
Are you willing to sell your house?
Yes.
Your kids and your wife that are in that house have to come with us. That's not good.
That's not good.
No.
That's not good.
Is Sean willing to do that? I don't know.
He didn't draft Pat Surtain.
He didn't.
You know, and he's shown the ability in the past to say, it's about right here, right now.
Yeah.
Not worried about the future. He's done that with draft picks and cap space. Of like, it's all about right now. So maybe these are real conversations happening. But back to this Field Yates scenario. So you have the Vikings grabbing J.J. McCarthy with the 5th overall pick.
Yep.
And then it gets to 12. Broncos are on the clock. You hear that fateful jingle. Roger Goodell steps up to the microphone, and he says, with the 12th overall pick, the Denver Broncos are selecting Bo Nix, quarterback, Oregon. And this is what Field Yates says. Quote, the clock is ticking for the Broncos to address the quarterback room. They currently have only Jarrett Stidham and Ben DiNucci on the roster, and there are few... Oh, let me turn the page here. There are few remaining available options to boost the depth outside of the draft. With four quarterbacks off the board, the Broncos must act urgently. They don't have a second-round pick this year, making any sort of move up the board difficult to pull off. So I instead have them taking my QB5, despite him being the number 37 overall prospect on my board, end quote.
So now we're reaching. Now we're reaching for this quarterback, having to pick him at 12 when you know that you probably should be picking him later on.
Probably the second round.
The second round.
Or at least late first.
That's not good, man. Denver is in a bad situation if they cannot move up, if that's the case. But we don't know. Maybe Sean Payton is the guru and is somebody we're not thinking of, okay? Not thinking of, and he's okay with it. But if I'm Phil Yates, it's not Bo Nix that's going to be that number 12. It's going to be Michael Penix Jr. Mm. Michael Penix Jr. gives us the best chance to win. If it comes down to Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr., I'm picking him, MPJ, the real one.
You have the real one.
What?
That guy hasn't played a down of NFL football. He's the real MPJ.
Will the real MPJ please stand up?
The real MPJ.
Okay.
This season set the most threes ever made in the history of the Denver Nuggets.
Tell him.
Like, we're living in that. That's the real MPJ. You want the MPJ title? Come in here and be a franchise quarterback and we can talk. But you don't just come in here and take a champion's title from him now.
Look at that.
I'm just telling it is.
You're telling me that MPJ is going to be here, though. Michael Penix Jr.
He could be, but not if he asks Phil Yates. You want to know where he goes in this exercise? I want a live feed on you on draft night if this happens. Because you love Michael Penix Jr.
I do. I like his game.
You like it or you love it?
I love his game.
Oh, okay.
I'm taking him.
All right.
You're still trying to thaw out to
I'm
the...
I'm thawing
to the,
out.
Yeah, we know.
I'm thawing out.
The slowest thawer I ever seen.
Turn the heat up. In this scenario from Field Yates,
yeah,
there's a projected trade with... the Raiders.
Uh-oh.
The Raiders are in the second round, and they do a deal with the Washington Commanders in this scenario from Field Yates, and Michael Penix Jr. slips to the second round. The Raiders move up to pick number 36. So what is that? That would be 33, 34. It would be the fourth pick of the second round.
Okay, so it's pretty.
They move up.
High.
And they draft Michael Penix Jr. Michael Penix Jr. not only doesn't go to the Broncos, he's in your division for the foreseeable future against your rival who you haven't beaten since you were on the team.
So let me get this straight, Zach. The Chargers let the Vikings move up to him.
Mm-hmm.
The Chargers end up getting more draft capital.
Yes.
More options.
Yes.
Denver stays the same, doesn't get anything. The Raiders move up, find a way to get Michael Penix Jr. Now, if it's between Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix, Zach, who are you taking?
Michael Penix Jr.
Okay.
I'll sacrifice the medicals for who I just believe is a flat-out better quarterback.
Better quarterback.
Yep.
So, the Chargers got better. The Raiders seem to be getting better. They have a really good defense. They have a Hall of Famer at the receiver position.
Mm-hmm.
You bring in somebody like Michael Penix Jr. if he pans out to be a really good quarterback. And we're sitting here with Bo Nix, which I think a lot of people at this time are not high on.
He's just not inspiring, man. And maybe I'm being dead wrong and I'll eat Crow.
Exactly. Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah, that'd be great.
If that is the case,
oh, I love
prove
Crow.
Us wrong.
I love Crow.
That's why we are here. We are here to be motivation to someone like Bo Nix.
Yep.
Or even Jarrett Stidham, because I know Steady still wants a piece of this pie saying, I'm the man. Go prove it. But right now, it's looking like we're not getting better and other teams around us are getting better.
In this scenario,
it'd
be scary because the Chargers already have a franchise quarterback.
Yep.
They'd be gaining two additional first-round picks. They'll pick at 11 anyway.
Yeah.
And they'll have they would be loaded. I mean, they would be loaded from a draft capital standpoint. The Raiders and look, we're kind of painting a picture that's morbid because in that scenario, like Bo Nix can't play and Michael Penix Jr. can. And if he ends up with the Raiders, if the Broncos burn their 12th overall pick on a QB who can't play, and then the Raiders have the guy who's QB6 fall into their lap in the second round and he can play. I mean, that'd be pretty disastrous. Man, it feels like and this goes almost like power rankings, like week by week, like who's connecting who to the Broncos. But it does feel like that Bo Nix has been connected to the Broncos at 12 because of circumstance, not that they would pick him number one if they were at the first pick in the draft or the second pick or the third pick or even the fourth pick. Because of circumstance, so many people like Field Yates are drawing a straight line between the Broncos and Bo Nix, and it is my least favorite option of any of the six quarterbacks.
Yeah, I'm not liking that one, man. I'm not liking that one at all. I don't see that happening because I don't think that's who Sean's going for. I think Sean has somebody else in mind. If it is JJ McCarthy, he's going to be aggressive.
We'll see. We shall see. We shall see. Time is short. We are
it's here.
April 3rd. The draft is in 3 weeks. Here
Winter
we go.
Winter is coming.
Yeah.
Truly, this is like a buildup. Winter is coming.
Yeah. All right, I got a question for the RamosLaw.com text line. The NBA and NHL playoffs start in 17 days. If they started today, though, who would you trust more, the Nuggets bench or the Avs goaltending situation? That's coming up next. What are you trying to do on Friday? Home opener. Party. Rooftop. Sunshine. Baseball. That sounds like an American summer right there.
Oh, man, I might have to pull out my Russell Wilson shades.
Your what? Leave those at home, bro. Leave those at home.
I want to feel a chill.
Oh, no.
Why I got those glasses on.
Oh, my gosh. Well, at least we'll be, like, kind of outside.
Yeah.
Russ.
Yeah.
Russ loves those puppies indoors, man. He doesn't want to see a window.
He probably sleeps with them. Baby, why is it so dark in here? Oh, I got the glasses on.
We actually.
Time for y'all to go to bed.
Yeah, Russell literally has done a video from bed.
With the glasses on?
No.
Oh, I was going to say.
But he did announce a contract at one point from bed. Because that's for us, your boy. You and KJ can have him. Friday is going to be just a scene. El Patio, Denver, right across the street from Coors Field. Come say what's up. Stoke and Josh are going to walk you up the first pitch, and then we're going to rock with you all the way to 6 p.m. If you are going to the game, come say hello before or after. If you don't have tickets to the game, come hang. We're going to be out there in full effect. Hey, did my guy here singing this song, is he down $50 million to MGM? Did you guys see that story?
Yeah, I heard about that story.
My guy.
$50
million? Yeah. That was the rumor. Is this Bruno Mars,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Bruno.
He's got a residency, like, at MGM or whatever. And so residency, he does a show every night.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you got to be a big star to have that. A residency. Like, U2 has a residency.
Okay.
Britney Spears has a residency. That's why this idea that Ciara could have a residency was just, like, hilarious to me. It's a big deal. But they said, like, he's got the residency there, but he also likes to gamble. And the rumor was, like, as recent as, like, a week ago, that he was down to the casino that he works for, $50
million. $50
million. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it's not good to double-dabble in that stuff over there in Vegas.
No, no. Even Jonte Porter's like, yo, don't do it. Don't do it.
He said, believe me.
All right. Real quick. Real quick, before we get into who would you trust more if the playoffs started today, the Nuggets bench or the Avs goaltending, wait till you guys see the highlights from the Rangers-Devils game. Because we got a little blast from the past.
Oh, man. It felt good seeing that.
We got a little blast from the past. There was a full line fight to start the game. Like, your line versus my line. That puck didn't drop, and dudes were ready to take their gloves off. And it was legitimately like Avs, Red Wings, 5-on-5.
Oh, man.
All out war before a second came off the clock because
of
some old history. And then you got to take it in your own hands. This is why I hope they never take fighting out of hockey because there's that.
They're not.
There's that, they call it like frontier justice. Like they police themselves. They don't need someone to come in and do all that. They'll figure it out on their own. And boy, do they figure it out. Holy jumping.
Puck drop. Everybody started facing their opponent.
Yes.
Let's get it on.
I love it. That's what I, like, not that you saw it every night, but that's more of the hockey that I grew up with in the 90s. I mean, as Red Wings is the most famous example, but I used to go to the AHL games and it'd be like Albany River Rats against the Adirondack Red Wings. And you needed a ticket to that game because you know it was just, there was so much beef between the two teams And I remember growing up watching these guys fight, like, it was like Rob Ray, and these are my guys.
Yeah.
Rob Ray and Matthew Barnaby and Christoph Olivaw and Chris Simon, who unfortunately we just lost last week. Mm. I remember watching that guy just beat the brains out of my guy, Rob Ray, and it was just like, you just don't see it anymore. You don't see it like that, especially in the NHL. And man, we got a taste of it here this afternoon. Wasn't that a wild scene?
It was fun. It was fun. It's like, man, if this would happen more often, do you know that the viewers would be up so much more just like having some beef, right? If the Colorado Avalanche had some beef with somebody and you knew like, uh-oh, today could be the day.
Yeah.
And the players know it's going to be the day. So they're texting the other guys and, hey, get ready. Get ready because you know it's on and cracking.
Yeah. That's how it used to be.
Oh,
Ty
man.
Domi. Remember Ty Domi? Oh, my gosh. Just like, dude, you better pack a lunch. All right.
And a mouthpiece.
If the NBA and NHL playoffs started today, which they don't, they start in 17 days, though, which makes the question fair. If they started today, who would you trust more, the Denver Nuggets bench or the Avalanche goaltending?
Mm, this is a tough one, Zach. I'm going to go with the Denver Nuggets bench. And here's why. Because how many times are we going to see the bench of the Denver Nuggets out there? How many minutes you think? About
8 to max like 14, but I'll say 8 to 12.
8 to 12 minutes. That's it. That's all we need from you, bench. 8 to 12 minutes. Now, Georgiev's going to have to play the whole entire game. The whole entire game, Georgiev's going to have to be ready to play. And so I'm going to take a bench that I know can come out at any time, okay? Peyton Watson, Christian Brown, do some good things for only 8 to 12 minutes, then having to rely on Georgiev, who's going to have to be between the pipes the whole entire time.
I like that explanation. Mm. It's the ask. It's the, like, what are you asking the bench to do? Can you hold the fort down to 8 to 12 minutes?
Yeah.
Georgie, he's going to be out there for 60 minutes every single playoff game, probably, unless things go really sideways. And there's nowhere for him to hide. Now, the Avs can play better in front of him and kind of not hide him, but mitigate the risk. Where the Nuggets bench, one, the ask is just don't get destroyed. Don't get destroyed in the non-Jokic minutes. I like that. We got Will Peterson for a segment plus 2 minutes.
Okay.
If the NHL and NBA playoffs started today, which, by the way, you know they start on the same day, April 20th, 17 days from now, the NHL and NBA playoffs both get off the ground. Who would you trust more if they started today? The Nuggets bench or the Avs goaltending situation?
The Avs goaltending situation.
Mm.
Because what did we see 2 years ago, fellas? They won a Stanley Cup with two goalies. Darcy Kuemper, he gets hit in the eye in the Nashville series, misses some time, can't play the entire Western Conference final. And who was one of the biggest heroes at the parade? Pavel Francouz, Frankie.
Yeah.
We got two new dudes. I get it. But we just saw 2 years ago it can be done. So I trust it more on the Avs goaltending situation because without Bruce Brown, he put up 24 in Miami in Game 3.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have a 24-point scorer off their bench this year. Because the Avs have done it before, and they won games like 8-6, fellas. Mm. You never know how many goals this offense is going to put up, even with mediocre goaltending. I trust the Avs goaltending situation
more. Man, and this is why it makes a good question, because I think reasonable minds can disagree. There's enough doubt has crept in both situations that you could forecast, like, ooh, could this be a problem here in 3, 4, 5 weeks? Man, oh, gosh. I'm actually going with Phil. I'm going to go with Phil that I trust the Nuggets bench more because the responsibility is different. And I also believe that, especially when it comes to Peyton Watson and Christian Brown, those guys have an opportunity to be plus defenders, like plus defenders. And when you're only playing the spot minutes that they're going to play, I think the focus narrows. Like, there is going to be no exploring my game during an NBA playoff. It's your mission is simple. Do not lose the Jokic minutes. And the hallmark of each of their game, not that they're not capable of hitting shots once in a while, but the hallmark of each of their game is defense, and that lends itself to not getting killed in the Jokic minutes. That would be my snapshot of the answer there.
Yeah, but you also saw what Reggie Jackson did in the final 90 seconds last night.
Yeah.
They don't have a backup point guard.
Yeah.
I like Reggie, local kid, retiring as a Nugget, all of this and that. He is not the same guy that was out there in December.
No, he's not. But he's also getting exposed with the minutes that he's being asked to play right now. He is not a 26 to 34 minute. He's just not.
15 minutes.
He's better served as a backup point guard. And right now he's that's not who he is.
He's taking it at a 7-4 dude in a tie game in the final 70 seconds.
That was just dumb.
If they had lost that game last night, Reggie Jackson would have been the GOAT and not the good kind of GOAT.
Yeah. No, for sure. For sure. That was just dumb. Lack of awareness. All right. How much worse can it get tonight? I want to discuss that with our friends here coming up next.
It's time for the Drive's Top 5.
Not two, not three, not four.
Presented by High Five Plumbing. Here's Zach and Phil. I got
It's the Drive's Top 5 of the night, brought to you by High Five Plumbing. What is the next chapter that we are in store for what is trending to be one of the worst Denver sports teams of all time? I went back and looked at all the worst teams in the history of Denver sports for the Avs. It's the 16-17 season when they went 22-56-4. All right, a winning percentage that is just ugh. Broncos' worst season in the NFL since going to 16-17 games. It's got to be 2010. 4-12, Josh McDaniels. Broncos were outscored by 127 points in 16 games. That is hard to do. But it's the Denver Nuggets. 97-98. Denver Nuggets. You know what their record was, Mr. Will Peterson from DenverSports.com?
I want to say 10-72.
You sold them a win short. 11-71. That was Bill Hanslick's a crew. That went 11-71. It's quite literally one of the worst NBA seasons of all time. I think it's in the bottom three. And I think he was the only one, I think, that didn't, like, get fired during the year. So I think he actually, like, from a coach standpoint, I believe it's the worst single season for any one coach of all time.
And I think they beat Michael Jordan and the Bulls at McNichols Arena that year.
Is that right?
I want to say one of the 11 wins was against MJ and the Bulls at McNichols.
Drew's shaking his head yes. All right. Wow.
And quick note on your other two.
What a story.
The Avs one was Bednar's first year.
Yeah.
They didn't fire him. Which, good foresight by Joe Sakic.
Yes.
Hey, Patrick Waugh quit in August. We're not going to fire this
dude. Yeah.
And the other one led to Von Miller.
Yeah. Yep. And after Josh, it was John Fox coming in here, right?
Yep. And they got the number two overall pick.
Yeah.
They got Foxy. They got Vaughn. Things turned around. Tebow mania, obviously. And then they signed Peyton Manning.
Yeah. The Rockies, in order to finish with a worse winning percentage than the 1997-98 Bill Hanslick-led Nuggets, they would have to go 25-137. 25-137.
They can do it. You want to know how? Just show up. If the same people continue to show up and show out, we're going to be winning 25 games.
That is wild. They're winning more than 25 games, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. If the first number is not a 5, I'll be stunned. But they're going to get to 50. Because even 50-112 would be one of the worst seasons in MLB history.
Yeah.
Guys, Chris Bryant has not even hit a ball yet.
Yeah, he's 0 for 16. Not ideal.
Okay.
Not ideal.
Kyle Freeland's our best pitcher.
He's got an ERA that looks like a phone number.
We might need to put our catcher as our pitcher now.
And Nolan Jones is supposed to be their best player, yeah. And he's making Little League errors every other night.
Yeah.
Every other night.
He's hitting 087 with 11 strikeouts, Nolan Jones. It's bad, fellas. So, what are we in store for? Wrigley Field here. It's on a weather delay.
That's the only thing helping them out.
Yeah. What's the final score tonight?
Ooh-wee. Will, go ahead. Go first, man. I
don't know. 9-2. I mean, that's the kind of score they're going to lose by most nights.
Even with the weather?
Dude.
Yeah, man.
Dude.
Because that ball will be slippery, Phil. They're going to be chucking that thing all over the diamond.
Dude. I didn't realize it until I saw your tweet. They're down 10-0 in the seventh inning. They hit a two-run shot to go down 10-2. What happened next?
Michael Tolia gets in the dugout and puts on the ski helmet and the ski goggles and starts dancing up and down the dugout. I was appalled.
Wild.
They only showed it for like 5 seconds.
This is true Moneyball, man. This is some true Moneyball stuff. When you walk into the locker room.
It is, but it's not.
Not in the good part. I'm talking about when they walked in the locker room, he was dancing on the table.
Where are the leaders, bro?
There's no leaders.
If you pulled crap like that with Nathan MacKinnon, he would rip the helmet off your head and chuck it across the room. Where's Chris Bryant? Where's Charlie Blackmon? Where is Bud Black?
Yeah.
Put that stupid helmet away. We're down 10-2.
I agree.
Awful look.
Bud Black is signing an extension. That's where he's at. He doesn't know what's going on.
Oh, let that extension drop. We'll have a story at DenverSports.com.
It shows, though, that the players are just as clueless as management, that they let that happen last night. Hey, you hit a dinger down 10-0. Put on the ski goggles.
Yeah.
Let's have some fun.
Drew Spivak, what are you looking for tonight in the Drive's Top 5, brought to you by High Five Plumbing?
All right, boys, obviously we don't have the Avalanche tonight, but we got a big game in the NHL with two teams the Avalanche might look to play in the postseason. We got Dallas and Edmonton going at it tonight. The Stars could take a 5-point lead over the Avalanche for the number one spot in the Central Division. Guys, if the Stars get to 5 points up, the Avs would need to win on Sunday in order to kind of keep pace with them. Otherwise, it might be a wrap for the Central Division. The Avs might be playing the Winnipeg Jets in the first round of the playoffs.
Damn. All right. I like that. Kamaje Granderson behind the glass. What are you looking for tonight?
We also have another potential playoff matchup that we need to keep our eye on. The only problem is this matchup won't take place until October. Blue Jays Astros is what I'm looking at tonight. The Astros have gotten off to a very weird start, but I want to see, can they turn it around? Because the Astros are the type of team they like to have weird seasons, and then those are the seasons that they eventually turn things around and kind of make an unnecessary run to the World Series.
All right. Will, what are you looking for tonight?
I'm going to see if the Celtics can do us a solid.
Yeah, he took mine too.
Make sure they can beat the Thunder without SGA. Because, guys, the Nuggets have no tiebreakers whatsoever.
Correct.
And you always watch the loss column in the standings. Don't worry about the wins. Wins you can make up. Losses you can't. They're going to have to be one ahead of the Thunder. Big game tonight. Let's go Celtics.
Yeah, that game has tipped off. It's on ESPN. Celtics with an early lead about midway through the first. But no SGA again. No SGA again. There's still a scenario. You look at this straw poll that came out today. There is still a scenario that my prediction from, I don't know, 6-7 weeks ago comes true. Nuggets, number one seed in the West. Mm-hmm. Jokic, unanimous MVP. It's only happened one other time.
You did say that.
If SGA keeps on missing games and Oklahoma City keeps, losing games, that might break some ties with some voters. I don't know. What are you looking for tonight, Phil?
Oh, you guys forced my hand. Uh-oh. I have no choice but to watch how bad the Colorado Rockies get beat.
Oh, doctor.
How bad is it going to be?
All right, we'll see. We'll see. Weather delay right now at Wrigley. We'll see what shakes out. Who are you working with tonight, Will?
Andrew Mason.
All right.
We're going to dive into this Michael Penix Jr. visit to Dove Valley.
Yeah, that was yesterday, right?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Look at you. You didn't want to bring it up because you don't want MPJ to be in the building.
I'm thawing out. I'm thawing out to Michael Penix Jr. All right, we will listen to, we'll come in here and do this again tomorrow, Phil.
Yes, sir.
All right, shout out Kamaje and Drew behind the glass. Thanks for making us a small part of your hump day. We step aside. It's Denver Sports Tonight coming up next.